China and Australia's tense relationship just got more strained. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Beijing today has condemned a new security deal between the U.S., Australia, and the U.K., saying it shows a Cold War mentality. The defense agreement will allow Australia to use U.S. military technology to build nuclear-powered submarines for the first time. It also provides more cooperation on cyber technology and artificial intelligence. Beijing has been accused of raising tensions in disputed territories like the South China Sea to the north of Australia, and its military buildup and increasing aggression has worried rival powers. The announcement of this trilateral deal comes after U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris's trip to Southeast Asia last month, where she reiterated the Indo-Pacific region's importance to American security and prosperity. Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison said the region is becoming more complex, and this deal, he says, will help his nation meet its own security needs. The question is, at what cost? The BBC's Shaima Khalil is in Sydney with more.
All of this is going on with that other very sour dynamic between Australia and China. Since the announcement that they wanted this investigation into the origins of COVID-19, Beijing has essentially imposed all of these tariffs and sanctions on Australian products like beef and barley and wine. I've been speaking to some people in the industries, for example, in the wine industry. I remember someone telling me all these relationships that we've built over the years, they're now gone and we don't know if we can rebuild them. Add to that dynamic now, Australia clearly aligning themselves, not just politically, but now militarily with the United States and the UK. And we can expect that the tension between those two countries, Australia and China, to worsen in the coming months.
And France is also feeling a pinch from this agreement. Australia has pulled out of a deal worth tens of billions of dollars for diesel-powered submarines from that country.
France is clearly quite angry and disappointed. We've heard from the foreign minister, who said that this decision betrayed the letter and the spirit of the cooperation between the two countries. This deal has not been the smoothest of deals between Australia and France. It's been marred by delays and disagreements. But the fact it is now replaced by this huge partnership and a big shift, I would say, in Australia's defense policy is definitely, you know, quite infuriating for France, who felt that this was there since 2016 when they signed that deal.
Lots of dynamics at play. The BBC's Shaima Khalil for us in Sydney. Thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure to be with you.
Well, stocks across Asia fell in today's session. As we check the numbers now, Hong Kong's Hang Seng dropped as much as 2.1% to its October low. That's on continued fears about the possible collapse of property giant Evergrande and worries among casino companies about a crackdown on the gambling industry in Macau. The Nikkei ended down 0.6%, while the Shanghai Composite shed 1.3%. Earlier this week, France imposed a nationwide requirement for 2.7 million healthcare workers to either get at least one COVID-19 vaccine or resign for their posts. The deadline to do so was yesterday, and today a hospital in the southern city of Nice said it's now suspended about 450 of its staff who have not complied with the new rule. Unions have warned it could lead to closure of some health services there. France is not the only country issuing such vaccine requirements on workers. Zimbabwe's justice minister controversially suggested civil servants there get vaccinated or quit. Less than 3.5% of Africans have been fully vaccinated against the virus. But despite challenges getting access to doses on the continent, Zimbabwe has forged ahead as one of Africa's leaders in the rollout. The BBC's Shinga Nyoka has more on that story from the capital, Harare.
Just days after Zimbabwe began rolling out COVID vaccines to teenagers, 16-year-old schoolgirl Kutenda Nazare has arrived at a private clinic to get her jab.
My friends, some are a bit skeptical about it, but I'm trying to talk them into it so that we can just protect everyone around us.
Despite its economic challenges, Zimbabwe has surged ahead of most African countries in its vaccination program. Almost 12% of the adult population has been inoculated, compared to 1.5% in Kenya and ahead of its more prosperous neighbor, South Africa. And it's now the first African country to vaccinate young teens. Since early morning, large groups of people have gathered at a clinic in Bare, a busy township in central Harare. Within minutes, the five people waiting inside have received a dose of Russia's Sputnik vaccine and they leave. China's Sinopharm is also available here, and it's the backbone of Zimbabwe's vaccination campaign. Outside, a woman is handing out vaccination certificates to the young, the old, and to some in work uniforms. The number of people getting vaccinated has risen after a very deadly third wave, but also because government has now barred the unvaccinated from enjoying certain services. The lockdown has now been eased, and theatres and restaurants like the Queen of Hearts have reopened, but only for the vaccinated.
Competition is not as fierce anymore because a lot of people have closed, a lot of places have closed.
Queen of Hearts General Manager Kodamo Kucha.
I mean, it's a glimmer of hope to be open now. It's safe to say I think about 85% to 90% of all restaurant operators have had their staff vaccinated.
Dr. Agnes Mahomva is the chief coordinator of the National COVID Response.
Government made a clear decision to set aside its own resources, $100 million, for vaccines.
Despite its relative successes, Zimbabwe has another 8 million people to jab to reach herd immunity. Mahomva warns the battle against COVID can only be won if Western countries do more to ensure Africa gets access to the vaccines it needs.
That's the BBC's Shingai Nyoko reporting from Harare there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.